On this episode of the Girl Talk podcast.
So instead of being able to control food, food would control me. And so then I would have to throw it up again because I felt like I could not absorb those calories. And again, this was a very flawed mindset and I knew I needed help.
You're listening to the Girl Talk podcast brought to you by our friends at Fox Toyota of East Tennessee. My name is Carol.
I'm Kelly.
I'm Trisha.
And we're so glad you've joined the conversation today. Have to go ahead and just issue a warning. This one's probably going to go deep and I know it's going to be a difficult episode, but it's much needed. And you said that when we sent out the survey, this was one of the topics that kept kind of bubbling to the top. And I think we all have different angles to approach it. So today we're going to be talking about, do you have a healthy relationship with food? So I think probably what we have to start with, at least for me, I don't know about y'all growing up, but whenever I fell down and got hurt, scraped my knee, what happened?
Ice cream.
I know, right? That was always the answer.
Comfort. Makes everything better.
Yeah. Mm. And so that is, and I'm not, hear me, I'm not blaming anybody for that because that's part of being a kid. I mean, but I will say that I came at a very early age to understand that food was a trigger for me. It became I've had an unhealthy relationship with food for most of my life, I will say. Now, when I was younger, I was very active, so it didn't show itself as much as far as, because I think when you think unhealthy relationship with food, all of us probably thought first thing was weight.
Sure.
So that's exactly where our mind goes. So I think probably where we want to start is how do you know if you have an unhealthy relationship with food? I'll start just because y'all know me and I share way too much. So I'm going to go ahead and do that here. I knew that I had a unhealthy relationship with food when I started turning to it instead of processing things through other people. Mm-hmm. What I mean by that is, you know, when I break up with a boyfriend, I'd eat a, you know, whole carton of ice cream, not just a serving size. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or I would binge on pizza, or I would, you know, so I've never had an eating disorder, but from the standpoint of having an unhealthy relationship with food, yes, absolutely I have. Mm-hmm. And I think in our culture teaches us to turn to whatever feels good. So whatever makes us feel good at the time, that's why we have a host of addictions in our society, social media, drugs, alcohol, all the things. You know, so society tells us it's okay to have that comfort thing that brings you comfort. So how do you guys, have you had a unhealthy relationship with food and how did you know?
Well, yes. The short answer is yes.
Yeah.
A very unhealthy relationship with food that, like you, Carol, started way long time ago. But as an adult, the way it manifests itself for me is that if there is something in my refrigerator or in my freezer or in my pantry or in the break room here at work that I cannot stop thinking about, then it's become unhealthy for me.
Yeah.
You know, we had, not too long ago, had these great ice cream sandwiches that came into the building.
Oh my goodness.
They were fantastic. They were gigantic, made by a local place. And I could not stop thinking about them.
And, and there's ice cream between two cookies.
It's ice cream between two delicious cookies. Homemade ice cream to boot.
How can you go wrong with that?
Right? But for me, I knew they were in the freezer, in the break room, and I could not stop thinking about them. And that for me is a marker of an unhealthy relationship with food.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I have a very, very complicated background with relationship to food. I started out fighting my weight growing up. So I kind of hated food and loved it at the same time.
Right.
Felt like I was always battling against food. Like I want to eat this, but I don't like it. And, you know, kind of had some mindset issues growing up a little bit older. High school, ending of high school into college, there were some things happening in my family that were so chaotic and out of control.
Yeah.
I began to control my eating.
Right.
Because in my mind, that was literally the only thing I could control.
Sure.
So I was very controlled with how much I ate, when I ate it, what I ate, just everything was hyper controlled. And my weight started to go down, which was a positive implication for me. Mm-hmm. So I kept doing that. People would compliment me. Oh, you look great.
Yeah.
You've lost weight.
Yeah.
So even though my mindset about food was actually getting worse, people were complimenting me. So I felt like that was a positive thing. Mm. So I actually went into a full-blown episode of anorexia at one point, 87 pounds, my freshman year in college. Wow. And I remember moments when I would stand in front of the mirror in my dorm area and I would put my feet together. And if my thighs touched at top, I would feel like a failure and I would have to go run the stairs.
Oh,
this is where I was.
I just want to hug you right now.
Well, thank you. It was a very sick stage for me. And at a certain point, I stopped being able to control it, and then I went into a bulimic period of time. Mm. So instead of being able to control food, food would control me, and so then I would have to throw it up again because I felt like I could not absorb those calories. And again, this was a very flawed mindset, and I knew I needed help. So I reached out immediately. And I started getting counseling, counseling at college, but it wasn't really Christian counseling. It was what our college could provide, which was better than nothing and starting to build some skills. But at a break in school, my mother took me to a prayer session, and I had a woman who prayed for me. And so the woman that we've talked about with the mentoring, if you'll remember that a few weeks ago, she prayed for me to be healed from this. And I can't say that this, God healed me. God healed me. It was just like going from one room to another room. I left that mindset and had a different mindset. Now, I wouldn't say that all of a sudden my relationship with food was completely healthy.
Sure.
I still had to learn some things.
Yeah.
But I was able to move out of that, just that it was an eating disorder, like full-blown eating disorder. It was about 2 years of my life that food took over.
Yeah, and I think this is a good place because all three of us have varied, you know, experiences.
Yeah.
So the first thing I want you to hear is if you're in a situation where your health is at danger, because it sounds like your health was at danger.
Absolutely. My hair was falling out and all that.
Yeah, so there needs to be an accelerated course of action for you. Getting counseling, getting the help that you need. And we're big fans of that.
Yes.
And I would say even Christian counseling, because here's the thing. Even if you don't have an eating disorder, my unhealthy relationship with food was almost like an idol for me.
Sure.
Because I felt like it should be, it was something I worshipped.
Mm-hmm.
It was something that you mentioned, you thought about it all the time. And it was like whenever I felt bad, I ate. Whenever I felt good, I ate. Whenever I didn't want to feel anything, I ate. You know, so all of those things in there, I would say Christian counseling, because not every unhealthy relationship with food is a spiritual thing. But I think there's definitely some of that as a believer that we need to get a hold of, because I just truly believe that with all my heart.
And
maybe
the
that's
weapons.
Wrong.
No, you're right. And the weapons that we use to fight it are God's word.
Yeah.
It's prayer. It's what God says. It's the Holy Spirit. Those are the weapons that we need.
Yeah.
We can learn skills to avoid certain environments or certain triggers. We can learn that in other ways, but to really fight something as devious as a thought process with the unhealthy food issues, you need God's word. You
Absolutely.
Have to have that power.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And the power of prayer.
Yeah.
I mean, like you said, that is what helped heal you 100% of your eating disorders is the power of prayer. And when we pray for release from those kinds of addictions, God honors that.
Yeah.
It might not be an immediate process like what you experienced.
Right.
It might be a gradual process, but
sure.
God still honors that prayer.
Yeah, and I think y'all just identified like the bundle of dynamite, God's word, prayer, and accountability.
Mm-hmm.
Like is that third stick of dynamite. Because I think, at least for me, during the hardest periods of my life, I was so isolated that it was scary for me because I'm an extrovert, you know. And so when I would hide and eat, I would completely shut the blinds. It was like a ritual. I would go home from work every day and shut the blinds. And I had a baby then. And so I was in the house by myself, you know, and when I should have been eating for her to keep her healthy, you know, but I wasn't. And that was the time that I really was ground zero. So A, get the help that you need if you have a serious problem like anorexia or bulimia. But also, if you're listening to this podcast and you have an unhealthy relationship with food, we want to give you some tools, okay? Mm-hmm. So I can tell you some of my tools and some of the things that have worked for me through time. Now, this has come as I've gotten older. I will not say that this is something that I've learned 20 years ago, because it's probably only in the last 5 years that I have stopped worrying about my weight. And you're like, well, is that really a practical thing? I have done all the things. I'm probably Weight Watchers for life. You know, I have so many points that I've eaten my points to do me till I'm 96. So, but I will say this. When somebody was like, why don't you just focus on getting healthy and stop worrying about the weight? Because if you make good choices to get healthy, the weight's going to take care of itself. But my focus had always been the point, how many ever pounds.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And especially after having a baby, you know, that baby weight's hard to come off. And I was an older pregnancy, so it was even harder for me because my metabolism was changing. But so I think probably one of the things that changed with me is it stopped being about the weight. I don't even have a bathroom scale anymore.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
And I'm so thankful for that because I have a teenage daughter now.
Oh.
So we threw the bathroom scale away.
Yes.
And it became more of the next choice that I was going to make. What I found was that the emotions were driving my unhealthy relationship with food. I said before, if I was sad, I ate. If I was happy, I ate. If I didn't want to feel anything, I ate, because that would numb. And then I would feel bad about it, so I'd go try to work out. And that roller coaster ride of unhealthy relationship with food was, I was tired. I was tired, and I was sick a lot, and I was sick and tired of being sick and tired, you know, mm-hmm. like they say. And I had a doctor's appointment, in that doctor's appointment, you know how they do the medical history of your parents? And they start to go through all the risk factors you have. And, you know, they don't tell you a lot of that stuff when you're younger, but the doctor just laid out, here are all your risk factors for things that run in your family. And like, when you see that in black and white, I was like, it took my breath away. Like, there are so many variables in there that I could be more prone to. Now, if that's the Lord's will for me, I realize that that's going to happen, and that he'll give me the grace and strength or whatever to go through that. But I just will say, I was looking at all that on a piece of paper, and it was startling to me, the number of things that run in my family that I have a proclivity towards if I don't make some changes in my life. So that was a big, like, one of the big turning points for me, that I was like, A, it wasn't about the weight, and two, it was about the things and how long I want to be able to live and serve God. Mm-hmm. Now, like I say, lots can happen, but as far as it depends on me, am I doing everything to make sure that I'm healthy for the days that are ahead?
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the tips and tricks that has worked for me. Y'all want to throw one in here?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you something that has helped me. And I used to work at a weight management center connected to the local hospital. And we would teach how to identify where you are with food.
Mm-hmm.
And one very simple but very effective thing you can do before you eat anything is ask yourself, why am I eating?
That's so big.
Just ask that. Yeah. And is it a celebration?
Mm-hmm.
Because, oh, and I've seen the tendency, my kids got straight A's, let's go get donuts. We're trying so hard not to do that now.
Yeah.
We're trying to, like, go buy Archie comics or we'll take you to Putt-Putt. But it's more expensive.
Yeah.
But why am I eating? Is it a celebration?
Yeah.
Is it because I'm sad?
Yeah.
Or I'm lonely? You know, is it filling something other than my stomach? Am I pushing something down? Literally think about when you're eating and you're pushing a feeling down.
Mm-hmm.
You're trying to stuff it. It will come back up.
Oh, yeah.
Worse than before.
With a vengeance.
Absolutely. Worse. Yes. With a vengeance. Or am I eating because it's time to eat?
Yeah.
When we eat only because it's time to eat, well, it's 12, I'm going to eat now. We're teaching ourselves to not pay attention to our hunger.
Mm.
And so much of the time, we don't connect with our real hunger.
Mm.
We're hungering on an emotional level. We're not hungering from a physical level.
That's so true.
And we used to say this, if you're hungry, you'd eat an apple. If you're craving something, you wouldn't want the apple. You just want that thing.
Oh, wow. So, that's so good.
The difference between hunger and craving is, yeah, would you eat something healthy? If you would, that's probably because you're actually hungry. If you only want that, you know, sandwich, that ice cream sandwich, it's because you're craving it.
Right.
So there's a way to tell kind of where you are. Also, watching out for eating at get-togethers. It's just something we do. But if we could change that to let's listen to music at a get-together, or let's go for a walk at a get-together. It's always, our culture is pushing us toward, we get together and we eat. We go out to dinner, or we do this with food. And if we can be aware of those things and just ask yourself, why am I eating right now?
That's great. Yeah. You know, for me, I said that it's the about knowing it's there and wanting to eat it because I can. Because it's there,
yeah,
and that just drawn addiction. So for me, the biggest triggers, I mean, the biggest solutions are, first of all, not have it there. You know, I clean out my pantry, which, you know, there's times I've been like, oh, I gotta eat all that stuff so I can clean out that pantry.
I'm cleaning it out.
Yes. Yeah. Just the unhealthy way, yeah, to, right, clean out your pantry.
Yeah.
But making sure, first of all, that I don't bring that stuff into my house because I can't not eat it.
Right.
You know, my husband walked in last night with a bag of Lifesaver gummies for me and said, hey, I bought our son one of these. I thought I'd buy you one too. And I was like, I immediately opened it and consumed half the thing.
Yeah.
Because it's there and I'm going to do it. So
right,
for me, replacing that with healthy stuff, and I'm lazy. I am just slap lazy when it comes to my food. And so if I can plan ahead and then make the grab and goes, healthy grab and goes,
yeah,
as opposed to, you know, the Pop-Tarts for breakfast, go get the Chobani yogurt for breakfast and have that as my grab and go. Just replacing those bad habits with the good habits. And then the third thing for me is, again, replacing those bad habits. When I'm feeling that draw, that temptation of come here, I want you to eat me kind of temptation, I try to like go for a walk instead, especially this time when it's the sunshine.
Yeah.
Go have a, and pray over it. You know, pray, God, make this go away. Make this desire go away. By the time I'm done walking for 5 minutes, I don't want that thing anyway.
Yeah. I'll tell you something else that I've tried that has worked for me is, and it helps identify whether it's really hunger or a craving. It's, if you want something, wait 5 minutes and drink a full glass of water.
Great. That's a great idea.
And I was like, oh, that won't work. And I tried it and it did. Like, and I had several successes in a row. And I was like, maybe there's something to that, you know, because you're making yourself wait. And in our society, we are taught that we shouldn't have to wait on anything. That's why we get so impatient in our spiritual lives, you know, or tapping the going.
Instant gratification.
Yeah. I want it now and I want it right now, you know? And so, and convenience has replaced our health and it's conveniently killing us.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And so, we had a couple of weekends ago, I'm always trying to reinvent my health, you know, trying to do the next thing that I can do to be healthier and feel good. Cause I just want to feel good. I just want to feel good and do the things that I feel like I need to do and be a good mom and, you know, do all the things. And we were out of town a couple of weekends ago and it was like 2 weeks after I had made this decision that I was going to do this. And that was it. It was right after I saw that list of risk factors that I had. And we went out of town. And I didn't have my refrigerator and I didn't have easy access to the things that I had put in place. And it was inconvenient, but we ended up finding things that I could do. And I think that's the important part, is that you know that it's not impossible, but you will have to put some thought and you will have to plan ahead a little bit. And it does take some intention. But those are good decisions. And even if, like, you know, you don't have to go home today, or, you know, you maybe you're exercising, you're listening to this podcast, you don't have to go home and clean out your fridge completely. What if you just make the next choice a better one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just the next one. Like for lunch, instead of running through the drive-thru and having a cheeseburger, you have a salad instead. I mean, like,
or go for a walk right now while you're listening to the Girl Talk podcast.
Yes. We're good walking partners,
we
right?
We are great walking partners.
Yes.
We love hanging out with you.
But I don't know that this podcast would do it because we're talking a lot about food. So it may just make you hungry. I'm not sure. But
question yourself before you eat.
Right. That's pause. That was huge.
Stop and think.
Yeah.
That was huge.
Stop and think.
And if I don't want to answer that question, That's my answer.
That's it.
I mean, seriously, if I don't want you to ask me, why are you eating that? Are you eating that because you're hungry or you want to enjoy? I mean, there's nothing good wrong with enjoying good food.
Right.
But half the time, I don't even chew it up before I swallow it. Like, I'm that kind of person, you know? It's like, I just want it and I want it now because nobody can tell me no and I'm an adult and I can have what I want, you know? Okay.
Well, it's true. But God has promised he's going to help us with this.
Sure.
He's going to help us with everything.
Well, let's move to that and let's talk about the spiritual nature of this. Mm-hmm. Because I think there is a spiritual nature
yes.
to it. This whole idea has been messing with me all week. We've had one of our friends just do a beautiful job leading devotions and talking about leaving a legacy. And one of the days that she talked about what ideas are we passing on to our kids. And it's messed with me. And I've been reading this book and it's talking about stewardship of your time and how you're spending your time and nothing happens by accident and you have to be intentional and all of those things are true. But at the heart of having an unhealthy relationship with food for me, I've said it before, it was an idol because I looked to food to make me feel better.
Yes.
I looked to food to solve my problems. I looked to food to give me peace. I looked to food to make me joyful. Mm. I looked to food to make me more patient. I mean, all the things that we're supposed to look to God for. And you're like, Carol, you're being a little extreme that food was an idol. Okay, maybe I am. But go ahead.
I don't think so.
Okay. I don't think so
either. I don't think so. Right. And I want to say this. Even if you make great choices, that's still an idol. Hey, maybe you're like so proud of yourself because check out my lunch. That's pride. You know, it's an idol. Like food can, when... I think our pastor says it like this. When you take a good thing, you can make it a God thing, and then it's a bad thing. So healthy food, even if it's making you feel like, hey, you know, it's your idol, it's your God. Look at me. This is how I identify myself because I'm a healthy eater or I'm such and such a weight person or whatever it is. So you're not overstating it. I truly believe we can make food an idol. We can make weight an idol. We can make appearance an idol.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All of those things, and they can be tied in together. But it starts with how you're thinking about food and how much you're thinking about food and if we are prioritizing it above God, which we can do.
Well, and one of the things you alluded to, Carol, was the pride that's in all of that. That arrogance of, I'm going to do whatever I want to do. I'm going to eat that ice cream sandwich that's in the refrigerator or in the freezer because I can. And that is when it slips very quickly into sin in my life.
Yeah.
That me going, so true. Don't tell me, Holy Spirit, that I shouldn't do that. I'm going to do it anyway.
What you got against ice cream sandwiches, Holy
Spirit? That's right. Yeah. So anyway, it's a very slippery slope for me to, you know, not sin when it comes to food.
So a couple of years ago, my word for the year was yield. And I've gone back to this analogy several times because God brings me back to that. There's this intersection near our workplace. And it has a yield sign and no one ever yields.
Nope.
And you're taking your life into your own hands.
Yeah.
If you go when the other lane is supposed to yield, you just got to hang on and pray. But what God was saying to me during that time is that there are some things that I'm going to ask you to yield to me and let me go first. And I found oftentimes in my life that there are a lot more times where God says, you'd be better off if you'd have let me go first on this. Let me lead you in this. And I think we live in a culture where we don't, A, feel like we can say no to anything, and B, that we should say no to anything. And that is not the life of Christ likeness.
That's right.
Like, he calls us to yield. You know, I've often heard people say that when you become a Christian, it is a call to die to yourself. Mm-hmm. And at my core, my unhealthy relationship with food was me feeding myself both physically and emotionally. And it was all about me. Even when I was, like you said, making healthier choices, you know. But there's this verse in Joshua where he says, throw away the foreign gods that are among you and yield yourself to the Lord. And so for me, I think that was another thing that God has continued to bring up as a gentle reminder to me. Yield, yield, yield. What if, you know, it's just like the stopping and waiting 5 minutes. You know, what if we took that time to pray? I'm not trying to over spiritualize, but I'm telling you that it'll make a difference if you'll try it. Yeah. Just try it. Yeah, I just dare you to try it. Because for me, it's yielding. Mm-hmm. I have said no to, I have not said no to a lot of things I should have in my life that I wish I had yielded and let the Lord lead. And I tell you that in the way of don't make the mistakes that I've made. Mm-hmm. Don't go the way that I've gone. Because I will tell you, there I can look back now and I can list off probably enough to fill 28 podcasts of mistakes that I've made where I didn't yield. Mm-hmm. And so for me, it is a spiritual issue, deeply spiritual, because I'm not telling myself no. I'm not dying to myself and my desires and my wants and my all those things. And so,
well, this is a good thing because with your eating, you have another chance to do that.
Exactly.
God gives us grace. And every time we do that before we eat, every time we kind of give it to God and yield, it's our opportunity to worship God with how we're feeding ourselves.
Sure.
And we get another chance here in about 2 hours or whenever.
Yeah. And I'll say this, you wouldn't pull up to a service station and put sand in your gas tank. You wouldn't.
Not if you want your car to move.
Exactly. Why do we do it with our bodies?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We're putting sand in the gas tank, y'all. And God has clearly got work for us to do because we're still drawing breath.
Yeah. Yes.
So don't you want to be the best, healthiest, best feeling person so that you can actually do the work?
Yeah.
I mean, you talk about it like that. You think the enemy's throwing all these things at us to distract us when it becomes about the food. But actually, it's what we're feeding our bodies so that we can actually be activated into service. Not that you have to eat healthy to be used by God, but man, wouldn't you like to feel good?
Yeah. Well, yes. I think too about the story of Daniel from the Bible.
Sure.
And his friends.
Yeah.
Where he didn't eat the king's rich food. How hard is it to not eat? I mean, I can just picture what that rich food would look like. Probably steak and lobster and, you know, all kinds of creamy things and sugar things. And yet he and his friends chose healthy foods because they were in the service for the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And what worship, like you said, Tricia, what worship there was in their story and in their sacrifices to eat healthy so they could be used by the Lord.
Mm. Good stuff.
Good stuff.
All right. So if you need help, get it. Yep. That's our first place that we're going to start. If you have an eating disorder, there is help. There is hope for you. We would love to pray for you. We're not counselors, so we just want you to get the help that you need, okay?
I'm living proof that you can move beyond an eating disorder.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I will tell you that that girl right there is so used by God, especially when it comes to things about health and wellness. She's been such an instrumental part of my journey, just reminding me of those things. So not only can you move beyond it, but you can be used of God. Yeah. So I want you to hear that
Amen.
As well. So get the help if you need it. Reach out to a Christian counselor, get some help, and get accountable to other people. Also, make some decisions. Make some decisions. Yield yourself to the Lord in this area. We want to pray for you. If you've got tips or tricks that work for you, we would love to hear all about them. You're welcome to email us, girltalk@thelightfm.org. And we're always glad when you do that. You can also check in on the Facebook page. You can join the girlfriends group. We'll probably be talking a little bit more about that in the weeks to come on that private page that is just for girlfriends. So however you can get in touch, please do so. We would love to hear from you. We want to say a great big thank you to our friends at Fox Toyota of East Tennessee for their partnership and ministry. We could not do this without you guys, so thank you so much for your support, and we'll see you next time we gather around these microphones for the next Girl Talk podcast.